Okay, so if you weren't at Exponential Global this year and you're interested in multi-site, well, we are doing a deep dive on a key seminar from the multi-site track, all about that campus pastor pipeline.
That's right. It was Kyra Montañez from Liquid Church, and a really practical session. So whether you're already multi-site or just kind of thinking about it down the road, we're going to try and unpack some of her wisdom for you today.
Yeah, because I think, one of the things that stuck out to me was just how much the landscape has shifted in terms of finding and hiring leaders. Like, it's not just about, looking for a great preacher anymore.
Yeah, she really highlighted that right up front, that post-pandemic things have changed. There's a declining interest in vocational ministry and maybe a little bit more caution around multi-site churches these days. So that pool of candidates is not what it used to be.
Right. It's like that whole great resignation thing. It's happening in ministry too. And then on top of that, you've got the financial reality. Churches, even if they're, trying their best, often just can't compete with what some of these leaders could make in the marketplace.
Absolutely. You think about someone with, the kind of leadership skills and the drive that you'd want in a campus pastor, they could probably make a lot more in the business world or, tech or whatever.
Right. So it's not just about offering a decent salary. It's about, like really casting a compelling vision. Like,
Yeah.
why would someone choose ministry at this moment?
It really is about that sense of calling.
Yeah. And she brought up this example from Liquid Church, which I thought was fascinating about geographical reluctance. Like, it's not even just about money sometimes.
Right, they're in New Jersey, and you'd think there'd be plenty of people around, but what they found was it was really hard to get people to relocate there, even with great opportunities.
So that really limits you right there even more.
It does, and she was saying that's actually led them to almost completely stop doing external hires for campus pastors.
Wow, so they're really focusing on developing people from within.
Yeah, and she made this point that it's not even just other churches you're competing with, it's every other profession out there that needs strong leaders.
Oh, totally. The skills that make someone a good campus pastor, leadership communication, all of that, those are valuable everywhere.
Right, so churches really have to step up their game.
Okay, so with all of that in mind, how does she think about the qualities that actually matter when you are looking for a campus pastor?
Well, she had this really interesting framework based on the, prophet, priest, king idea from the Bible.
Oh, yeah, I remember that part.
And I think it kind of flipped the script a little bit for a lot of people because she was saying, in the past, maybe churches would look for a campus pastor and think, oh, we need a great preacher.
Rhett the prophet.
Exactly. But now, with most multi-site churches doing video teaching, that's not really the main thing anymore.
Right. You're not hiring a campus pastor to be your main preaching voice.
Exactly. And so she said, the mistake is hiring someone who's a really gifted communicator, but then they come in and they're expecting to be preaching every week and they get frustrated.
Yeah, or they're not actually that passionate about all the other stuff that campus pastor has to.
Right. So instead, she said, what you really need is someone who embodies that priest role.
Okay, so the shepherd, the caregiver.
Yeah, someone who loves people, they're passionate about pastoral care, they want to be involved in people's lives, right? Doing discipleship, all of that.
So, someone who's really present in the community.
Exactly. And but then she didn't stop there. She said, you also need the king.
Oh, right. So, the leadership, the
Yeah,
strategy.
the organizational skills, someone who can think strategically and execute plans, can lead a team.
So, it's like this blend of, heart and head, right?
Absolutely, you need both.
Yeah.
And that's where she came up with her hiring rule. She said, we want campus pastors to be priests and kings, not prophets.
I love that.
Yeah, it's very catchy.
Yeah, and it really clarifies things. And then,
Yeah.
kind of going along with that, she talked about this thing she called the campus pastor paradox, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, can you unpack that a little?
Yeah, so basically it's this idea that campus pastors need to be good communicators. Like, they need to be able to cast vision and articulate things well, but their primary passion needs to be people, not the platform.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, because the danger is that you hire this charismatic speaker and they can draw a crowd, but they don't actually want to do all the, the relational stuff, the day-to-day
And
stuff.
shepherding the rolling up their sleeves and being with people.
Right. And so she said, the best campus pastors are the ones who really buy into the church's vision and they're carrying that forward. They're not trying to create their own
Yeah, they're
thing.
not building their own platform.
Exactly. And to kind of illustrate this, she used this analogy of shepherd versus rancher.
Oh, like to that one.
Yeah, so a shepherd is, focused on the individual care of the sheep, right up close and personal. And a rancher is more about overseeing the whole system, making sure everyone's taken care of.
So like a macro versus micro view.
Exactly. And she said, you know, you need ranchers for campus pastors because they have to think big picture. They can't get bogged down in trying to do everything themselves.
Oh, absolutely. You know, she had this great line. She said, "Your job is to ensure everyone is cared for, but you don't have to do all the caring yourself."
Right. Delegate, empower others.
And she actually said that in their experience, they've had more success hiring ranchers and then teaching them some of the shepherding skills than the other way around. Yeah,
Interesting.
like if you try to take a shepherd and make them a rancher, it's harder.
Yeah, it's like a fundamental leadership thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the big question becomes, where do you find these priest king ranchers? And you know, she was very upfront about Liquid Church's experience with internal versus external hiring.
Yeah, she basically said straight up they haven't had long-term success with hiring campus pastors from outside the church.
Wow, so they've really shifted their focus.
Totally. They're
Yeah.
all about developing leaders from within.
Makes sense. You know, people who are already connected to the church, they understand the culture, they're bought into the vision.
And she had this quote I love. She said, "The best campus pastors are already sitting in your church."
That's powerful. And so to kind of systematize that, they have this whole thing called the green room, right? Their leadership pipeline.
Yeah, it's like a three-stage process. You know, first you have exposure to ministry.
Okay, so kind of showing potential leaders, you know, how things work behind the scenes.
Exactly. Give them the peek behind the curtain. And then there's education. So that's like theological training, leadership development, equipping them with the tools they need.
Right. So formal training, and then the third part is experience.
Yeah, and this isn't just like volunteering, it's actually giving them real responsibilities, you know, maybe in a support role or leading a specific ministry.
So really putting them in a position to lead.
Exactly. And it's all before they're even considered for a campus pastor role.
So it's about being proactive and intentional, you know, not just waiting for a vacancy to come up, but actively developing people all the time.
Yeah. And she said, you know, those people who are showing that priest king potential, you start investing in them early.
Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the practical stuff around launching new campuses, because she had some good insights there too.
Absolutely. So she talked about this thing called the 3-to-1 rule for campus growth.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Basically, they've found that if you have a solid launch team of about 100 people, that tends to translate to a campus of around 300 people.
Okay, so it's like a multiplier effect.
Yeah, and I think it's helpful because it gives you a target to aim for with your launch team.
Right, if you want to launch a campus of a certain size, you need to start with a core group that's big enough.
And then she also talked about their staffing formula for new campuses.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So their general rule of thumb is one full-time staff member or the equivalent in part-time for every 100 attendees.
So it scales as the campus grows.
Exactly. And at the very minimum, when you're launching, she said you need at least a campus pastor, a worship leader, and a family ministries leader, someone focused on kids and students.
Right, those are the
And
essentials.
she was really adamant about not launching too early. You know,
Right.
she used this analogy of not wanting to give birth to Ishmael, something that's going to cause a lot of pain and hardship.
So take your time, build a solid foundation.
And she had this phrase, "Nail it, then scale it."
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so the idea is you make sure those core ministry experiences are really good from the start,
Yeah.
even if it's on a smaller scale.
Like kids ministry, worship, guest services, all of that.
Yeah, you get it right, and then you can grow from there.
And she said that the sending church needs to be prepared to overstaff a new campus at first to make sure it's successful.
Yes, definitely set them up for success.
So many good nuggets in this talk. And she had some really quotable lines, too.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Some of my favorites were, you know, a great campus pastor carries vision, they don't create it.
Oh, yeah, that's
A
good.
shepherd thinks small, a rancher thinks big. You need ranchers.
Classic.
And then the very practical, your job is to ensure people are cared for, but you don't have to do all the caring yourself. And then this one, which I think is a good reminder, if you hire the wrong person, you will feel it within months. Desperation hires never work.
Oh, so true.
Yeah, and she didn't just leave it at, you know, theory. She actually gave some very clear action steps for churches, depending on where they're at in the multi-site journey.
Yeah, she did.
So for churches that are already multi-site, she said, you know, regularly evaluate your campus pastors using that priest king model, make sure they're still a good fit. And she really emphasized building that internal leadership pipeline, you know.
Yes, don't wait till you have a vacancy.
Exactly. And then she also said, you know, Watch out for charismatic but misaligned leaders. Like, just because someone's a great speaker doesn't mean they're the right fit for your church.
And that they can lead well.
Exactly. And then for churches that are maybe just considering multi-site, you know, they're not there yet. She said, start identifying potential campus pastors now.
Yeah, right.
Begin training them and then define your hiring filters based on those priest and king qualities before you even start looking.
Yeah, don't just hire the first person who comes along.
Yeah. And then the big one, be patient. Don't launch too early.
It's all about that strong foundation.
Okay, so listeners, whether you were at Exponential or not, hopefully this deep dive has given you a good overview of Kairos Seminar. You know, we talked about the challenges of finding campus pastors in this current climate, that crucial priest-king model, the rancher mentality, the power of developing leaders internally, and the importance of smart launch strategies.
And it all comes down to this. You know, the future leaders you need are probably already in your church.
Right there, sitting in the pews.
So here's the question to leave you with. Who are those potential leaders in your context? And what's one small step you can take today to start investing in their development?
It's not just about filling a vacancy. It's about cultivating the next generation of leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
We'll see you next time.